Simen Reish. In this year, we're going to continue to discuss the halachas of burying the deceased on Yontif, and last year we discussed in general whether or not the custom is to bury. According to the Gemara, on the first day of Yontif, one could bury through non-Jewish people, and Yisurim D'Rabbanan, rabbinic prohibitions could be done through a Yisrael. And then on Yontif Sheni, on the second day of Yontif, in Chutz La'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael, where it normally would be Yontif, according to the Gemara, one could bury through Yisrael, even doing actual malachas. But we did mention that Kehillahs, different communities, had minhagim not to bury on the first day of Yontif, and that Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, and others discouraged even on the second day of Yontif, because today we have refrigeration, and many times it comes to do unnecessary malachas. That was what we discussed in the first shir of the siman. In the shir now, we're going to just complete those halachas and discuss some additional details. We're starting now, Siv Vav. Mutar l'lavos es hameis b'yontif rishon b'chutz b'teich hatchum. On the first day of Yontif, so basically you have no real major heterim, meaning to say any malacha d'oraisa, any Torah malacha needs to be done through a non-Jew. Only rabbinic prohibitions are permitted. Now, what about leaving tchum? Now, actually, leaving tchum is generally a d'rabbanan. What that means is the following, that the Torah says on Shabbos one shouldn't leave their place. Al yetzi ish mimekaymai. And according to certain opinions, if a person leaves their area, then they're over an isher, they transgress an isher, a prohibition, possibly the araisa, possibly of Torah origin. Now, in order to transgress a Torah prohibition, it has to be that one leaves an area the size of the encampment of the Jewish people at the Midbar, which was 12 mil, which would translate in our measurements to around 9 miles, which is obviously a very large area that could come up. Let's say a person's traveling by car or by train. That could be a situation where we might come into such a problem. But when someone's going by foot, obviously you're not going to come anywhere near that. However, Midrabanan, the rabbis, they prohibited traveling more than 2,000 amos, which is under a mile. So that's something that's much more possible. Now, what we see over here is a halacha that even though certain rabbinic prohibitions are permitted on the first day of Yontif for the purpose of burial, when it comes to the Levi, when it comes to escorting the deceased, that it's not permitted. Mutar l'lavos es hameis b'yontif rishon. One could follow the deceased on the first day of Yontif b'sarich hatchum, if it's within the 2,000 amma area. Ubiyantav Shani, and the second day of Yontif, afilu chutz l'tchum, then you could even leave the tchum, because this is for the purpose of a mitzvah, and it would be permitted. Umbitarim gamkein lachzul levatayim bebayayim, and not only are they permitted to leave the tchum, but they can also go back to their houses, which is its own issue, and this is discussed more heavily in the laws of tchumen. So let's say if a person did leave the tchum for a legitimate reason, can they come back within the tchum to go back to where they came from? And depending on the situation is, if they had a reason to leave that was something that halacha recognized to be important, then the rabbis would allow them to come back. And this is one of the cases where it's permitted, because since they were going out to escort a deceased person to show respect for the deceased, so therefore they allowed them to come back as well. This is what the Kitzur says over here. Now, what about, can one ride an animal? Now, we know there's an issur. Now, what's the problem with riding an animal? So, riding an animal is an issur d'rabbanan, because if you ride it, then maybe you're going to pull a branch or do something like that. Also, if you direct the animal, then that could be a different problem of mechamer, that may be a Torah prohibition. So it says like this. It says that on the second day of Yontif, even though it's not as strict, but you cannot ride an animal. Aval aser, lirkoiv al gai behema, could allow us his hames beyantiv. Afil beyantiv shen, even on the second day yantiv. Vafil ha'avelim. And even the mourners who, and this is one thing that if people who want to be a part of the levaya, of the funeral, and show respect, and they want to ride an animal, so we say that's really not necessary, so therefore, they're not allowed to desecrate yantiv for that purpose. But what about the actual mourners? So it says, no, even the mourners themselves, that they will not be permitted. But those that are actually burying the person, so those people, they're really essential, if they can't walk by foot, mutarm lerkov beyantiv sheni, on the second day of yantiv, they're allowed to ride. Mekomakom lai yirkavu, but they shouldn't do it within the city where people are going to see it. You know, they have a permission to do it because they need to do certain things for the deceased to be able to bury them. So what's really necessary, that's permitted, but not more. Now, the point that we see over here is an important thing, that on the second day Yantif, the halacha is that even Torah prohibitions that they are allowed to do, whatever is necessary for the funeral and for the burial. And it's sort of a very sensitive line between things that are necessary and not necessary. Here, riding on the animal, you know, involves some sort of iser, and, you know, people who want to be a part of the funeral, they have no permission to do that. Even the mourners themselves, only the people that are really necessary to be there. Now, a very practical application to this halacha would be as far as riding in a car or driving the hearse. Now, obviously, most of the cemeteries are not so close, they're not within walking distance to where people live. So in order to do the burial on the second day of Yantiv, they're going to have to drive. Now, if it's possible to get a non-Jewish driver, so that's the place can say that should be done, because driving a car, when you press the gas pedal, so you let gasoline into the engine, and you're creating a fire, so therefore that's a real malacha deraisa, that's a real Torah prohibition. So therefore, it should not be done unless you have, because if you have a non-Jew available, then you definitely should do it through a non-Jew. But if there are no non-Jews available to do it, then the Pesukim can say it could be done by a Jewish person. But then the question becomes, well, how many people could go along? What about to the family? What about the mourners? So the Pesukim discussed, it's brought the Piskei Tshuvos on in the laws of Yantif, brings from different Tshuvos from the Bar Maish and others, that only to allow 4 or 6 people who are actually going to be part of the burial. Now the question is, how many people are needed to carry the coffin? But other than that, you know, no family members, no one else goes. And from what I understand, although today it's not prevalent to bury at all on the second day Yantif, as we mentioned before, but the places that do it, only the Chevra Kaddisha, only the people that are actually burying, go to the Beis HaKfaras, and they only have 4 or 6 people going along, and the driver is a non-Jew. That's how they work it out, in order that it should be the most minimal amount of desecration of Yantav possible. And with this in mind, we can really understand the concern of Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, that because it's such a fine line, you know, only the people that are really, really necessary is permitted, and anyone else is not, so because of that, there's really a serious concern that people are going to do things that they're really not allowed to do. And we continue to Sif Zion, and the kids are going to talk about the appropriate time when the kvur, when the burial should take place on the second day Yantif. And the kids says the following. Meis b'lel Yantif sheni. If the person passes away on the night of the second day Yantif, because if it would be the day before, then they must probably be buried that day, at least according to the Gemara. They must ask him by Yisrael, Imei Nachrim, that halacha is that Jewish people are allowed to be involved and to do the burial if there are no non-Jews available. Mashkimim asar b'nei adam. So 10 people get up early, v'karven esoy, and they bury the person b'shosh ha'shlich tzibur amr piyutim. at the time when the Shlich Tzibur is saying the piyutim. It seems the reason is because they don't want everyone to participate. But if it's someone who's important, that we need for out of respect, we need everyone to escort. After they leave the shul, before the suda. So it seems that the appropriate time for Levi on Yontif is before the suda. So if it's not such a distinguished person, then they do it during shul when they're still saying the extra parts of davening. And if it's an important person, they don't want to hold everything up, but they do it right after people leave shul. Now, what's the source for this? The Isa B'Medrash says, Laisoichlu al adam, one should not eat on the blood. She'asur lechol suda kavua, that one shouldn't eat a set meal, kaidem shnik bar meis, before the deceased is buried, because you have that mitzvah, you should be doing it. V'mi'i afshel lehochen kol tzorcha kvura, ad esmanahu, if it's not possible to do everything until that time. Kavanas al acha achila, then if it's not possible, then it's only an idea, a concept, to be buried first, but if it's not possible, then you could be buried later. Now, from the Mishnah Berurah, it seems the reason why they do it during davening is because since the mitzvah of the day is to be mesameach, to be involved with the suda of Yontif, with the meal of Yontif, so therefore they don't want the Levi to take away from that. So that's why they do it early when people are still in shul. And then if it's an important person, they do it immediately after shul. But again, not to take away too much from Simchas Yontif, from the joy of Yontif. Now we're going to continue with Sif Ches. Yelet, a child, Shemes la'achar shleishim yom, after 30 days. So before 30 days, there's a question, maybe this child has the status of a nafil, of like a stillborn, and it doesn't have the full status of a human being, because until 30 days, a person doesn't get their chazakah, their strength of considered to be a viable person until 30 days. So this child that lives more than 30 days, Shiyadua Shein and Eifel, so we know for sure that this child wasn't like a stillborn, Dinai Kumai Sharmei. So it's the same halachas, that on the first day of Yontif could be buried through non-Jews, and the second day of Yontif could be buried through Jewish people. Achim Hu Zachar. Now what if it's a male? Now, we mentioned other times that there's a very big concept that a male person, if they passed away before they had a chance to have a bris milah, that it's a very important concept that they should be able to be to the arla, the foreskin should be removed before they're buried. So the issue over here is that to remove that on the first day of Yontif would be a problem. So that itself will be a reason to wait longer. And this is what the Kitzur is saying. That Achim Hu Zachar, Machmas Eze Siba Hadayim LaNimol, you have this child, and for whatever reason, even though it's more than 30 days old, it did not get a bris yet, Afal Pi D'Ishtoi, even though it's been pushed off already, the burial, so that's the reason to do it right away, Ein Karvin Asub Yontif Rishon, we don't do it on the first day of Yontif, Mishum the Tarchal Hasar Arlasai, because the Arla, the foreskin, needs to be removed. And therefore, to remove it would be a melacha, would be something that a Jewish person is not allowed to do. V'ein lasis zois al yidei nachrim. And to have it done through a non-Jew, like all the other needs are done, that you can't do, because I guess a bris is not supposed to be done through non-Jewish people, even though this is not a real bris, because the person's not alive, but still, it's even for these purposes, it should be done through a Jew. So what needs to be done? El mashin lei ayantif sheni. But we wait another day until the second day yantif. Demoto lalin lechvayde, that it could be left over, the deceased could be held over another day for its own honor, and this is definitely its own honor, that should be buried with a bris milah. Beyantif sheni, and the second day masir arlasai, the carver masai, and just as one is allowed to do the other needs of the deceased, so here also you'll be allowed to remove the arla and bury the person. Sif Tes. Tinoik Shemes Geshu Sovik Nefil. In the previous halacha, we discussed the child that lived for 30 days, so they definitely have a status of a viable person. So therefore, the regular halacha brought in the Shulchan Aruch that they could be buried the first day through non-Jews and the second day through Jews applies. But what about a child that's not clear if they were viable, and say they died within 30 days, and we have a question whether or not they have the full status of a regular person. Tinuk Shemeis Kishu Sofek Nefil, a child that dies when it's still a doubt whether maybe they have a status of a Nefil, of a not viable person, like a stillborn. Imlai Ishtohe, if it hasn't been a long time since the death, so therefore it's not as urgent that they should be buried right away. Ein Karvanos Sebi Yontif Rishon, then they should not be buried the first day of Yontif Afil Al Yinachem, even through non-Jews. Why? Because the obligation, there's a big discussion on Paiskim about the obligation to bury a Nefil, to bury a stillborn. This is an important point because it comes up, you know, if unfortunately a couple has a miscarriage, so what are the obligations to bury the fetus? Or let's say a child dies shortly after birth. Now, we definitely bury in these type of situations, but there is a question in the pricing of exactly how strong of an obligation there is to bury in these situations. Now, if we're going to say that there's not a chiv deraisa, a Torah obligation, to bury a nefil, to bury a stillborn child, then we may not be allowed to push aside the first day of Yontif. And that's exactly what the kids are saying, that if it's a suffix nefil, we're not sure, maybe it's a nefil, and it hasn't been a long time since the death, then we shouldn't. The first day of Yontif should not be pushed aside, and it should not be done. I feel like even through non-Jews. But on the second day Yontif, it could be done. The carbon, I say, but even on the second day Yontif, we do it through non-Jews, so not through Jewish people. Whereas with a regular person, on the second day Yontif, Jewish people are involved in it. Now, if it's a long time elapsed, so if we don't really want to wait until the second Yontif, so then we could bury it on the first day Yontif through non-Jews. And if it died on the second day of Yontif, so it could be buried on that day through non-Jews, not through Jewish people. Now, if it's a male, so we get into the whole issue of the mila. Imhu zachar, v'adayin l'nimel, if it's a male and did not have a bris mila, afilu ishtoye, even if it's been a while, en karfer nisai, they should not be buried, afilu b'yantif shein, even on the second yantif, afilu l'inachim, even through non-Jews, because you have this problem that you can't remove the arla on yantif, even on yantif sheini, because since we're dealing with someone that is possibly has the status of a nefil, of a viable human being, and therefore there's not such a strong obligation to bury, so therefore you don't really have a heter to do the mila on the second day yantif, and therefore you would have to wait until after yantif. El mashin le ad acher yantif, and therefore you wait until after yantif. Masir ner lasa, and then you remove the arla and recover, and I say you bury them. In other words, as far as the other needs of the burial, so that could be done through a non-Jew. But since removing the arla, the mila, it specifically needs to be done through a Jew, and there is a suffix, there's a doubt, maybe this person has the status of a nefil, therefore, and there is no heter to desecrate yantif for them. So that's why they would have to wait until after yantif. And then they were to do the mila then. Sif Yud. B'Shabbos, B'Yom HaKippurim, on Shabbos and on Yom Kippur, Lis Asku B'Meis Klal, they should not be involved with the dead body, feel like they nachem, even through a non-Jew. Now, in general, whenever we don't do the Kvura, so the status of the deceased has a status of Muktzah, and it really can't be moved. However, there's a concept that of moving a person, I did kikor v'tinuk, which means, if just like if you have a muksa item and you want to move it, so if you put something that you're allowed to move, let's say a piece of bread or a child or something on it, and it becomes like the base for that item, so then in certain situations you're allowed to move muksa. So this is allowed, not in all situations, but it's allowed in this situation if one wants to move the deceased person. So you put on like a siddur or something important on the person, so they're like holding it, so therefore you'll be allowed to move it, and it's considered like tiltul mala tzad, it's like an indirect way of moving the person. Now this comes up a lot. Let's say if a person is, if a person passes away in a hospital, and then the question of moving them, so if they're able to leave them there until after Shabbos and just pack the body with ice, that's very good. If not, then they need to be moved, then the hospital wants to move them, so there's going to be a problem with the Jewish person actually moving the deceased person if they don't put an item on them like a kikar or a tinnik or something like that. There's also a discussion about, let's say, if the deceased body is in a situation where it might be desecrated or an autopsy might be performed, so then they mention that one would be allowed to be over transgressing Isra Drabbanon as far as like moving muktzah and doing other types of Isra Drabbanon in order to prevent this sort of thing from happening. Now let's continue with Sif Yud Aleph. B'chol HaMoed, on the intermediary days of Pesach and Sukkot, Ein lehotzias hameis lebeis hakfaras ad shehakever masukken. They shouldn't bring the deceased, the coffin, out to the cemetery until everything's ready. Shelo yitzdarchu lehamid es hamita, in order that they shouldn't have to wait. Now the problem with waiting is that at a normal levaya, at a normal funeral, when they have to wait around at the cemetery, what do? They give hespedim, they give eulogies. And we don't want that to happen. Everyone's going to be standing around, so someone's going to get up there and give a eulogy. The problem is that's chol hamoed, it's not the time for eulogies. And that's why they want it to proceed very smoothly. Now generally speaking, when someone passes away, there's an obligation to tear kriya, to rent one's garments, and the prevalent custom is to do it at the time of the levaya, the time of the interment. Now, if it takes place on the second of Yontif, then the Paiskim say that they do not rip the kriya on Yontif, because there is an obligation to perform kriya, but that obligation doesn't come before the obligation of keeping Yontif. Now, this that we permit certain things on the second of Yontif is only for the actual respect for the person that passed away. But as far as the person's obligation to tear kriya, that's something that they'll do immediately after Yontif ends. I'd just like to take a minute or two to discuss some of the ideas about the tombstone and about setting up a tombstone known as Hakomas Matzeva. We mentioned it very briefly in a previous shiur, and at the end of this shiur, where we have a few minutes, I'd like to just mention a few small points. Now, the custom is to place a tombstone sometime after the interment, sometime after the kvura. There's different customs, whether it's after 7 days, after a year. And the idea is that that's a remembrance of the person. It's also the kohenim should know where it is and to be careful. And the minhag is to write something about the nifter on it. And it's brought down, the Nitzei Gavriel discusses at length the different minhag with different customs, but it's brought down that it shouldn't, the praises on the person shouldn't be excessive. And the reason is, a very interesting reason, is because if you write that on the tombstone of the deceased, then you sort of bring a claim against them in Shemayim, that in heaven they're going to say, listen, they wrote on your tombstone that you're such an unbelievable person, and you didn't exactly live up to that, so therefore it's some sort of claim against the person. And therefore it says that the Chevra Kadisha should look over what people want to write on the tombstones to sort of make sure that they don't get carried away, because that could be to the detriment of the deceased. Now another question that was heavily discussed in Paiskim is that there was a non-Jewish custom of putting a picture of the person on the tombstone. And there's a very strong idea in halacha when it comes to these ideas of what to put on the tombstone, that one should not do as the non-Jews do. One should not go in the ways of the non-Jews. And therefore, putting the picture there, besides the issue of the picture itself, you know, certain types of pictures you're not allowed to make, a picture of a full human being, especially if it's carved out. But here, besides for that, you have the issur of going in the non-Jewish customs. That's also why there is a discussion about writing a non-Jewish date on it, other these types of things, which are non-Jewish customs as far as how to write the matseva, how to write the tombstone, and those things are supposed to be avoided. Now, as far as the custom for what to do when they do the hakamas matseva, when they erect the tombstone, so the Nitzik Ariel writes that he looked into many svarim and didn't find very much a clear procedure what to do. He says he brings to say tilim, different tilim to say, also a custom to say the name of the deceased, use the tilim in parakufyut tests. They have tilim corresponding to the different letters, and to make out from those letters to make out the name of the person, and perhaps to learn mishnayis, to do the different things that are uschus. And another interesting custom is to say the belief in tchias hameisim, and then to make a kelmali rachim, the special tefillah, the special prayer for the deceased. Also, when one leaves the kever, he brings down a custom to put a stone. Now, the reason for putting the stone is because it's an honor to the deceased. It sort of shows that someone visited the kever. It shows that people care and think about this person. So, if we're putting the stone, it's like it's showing that you are there. Another thing that's brought down is to eulogize, to give a spadim at that time. These are a little bit different customs that the Sefer Nitzei Gavriel brings down to do at the time of Hakamas Matseva, the time when one erects the tombstone. So this concludes the laws of the Kvura, and the next year we're going to go further to new inyanim, to new concepts within the laws of Hilchas Avelos.